Please welcome Glenn.
Well, after high school, I didn't get to participate in Vietnam because I have had a broken back when I was a kid, so there's a big old knot on my back because of two fused vertebrae. So my friends all went. I was all by myself, and I met this fabulous girl. Her name was Diana. I fell in love with her. She was crazy. She pulled me out of my shell. She gave me something to live for. I just loved this girl. And so we ended up hooking up. We were together for 4 years. There was only one problem with Diana. She loved to drink. And before I knew it, I was drinking pretty heavily. And I began to forget things. I forgot days. Sometimes I'd wake up and I'd realize a day had passed. Didn't remember it. What was happening was I was blacking out. I was becoming an alcoholic. Didn't realize it. Well, after 4 years, she graduated from college. I don't know how she did that, but she did it. And then she shot up. So our lives just fell apart from that point on. We lost everything, lost the apartment, I was at rock bottom. And so I was out on the streets. First year, I don't remember very much about it. I do remember once waking up in a Goodwill donation box. But it was a great place to sleep because you have plenty of blankets and clothing you can go, you know, cover up. And then once I woke up in Emporium Capital's dumpster. And it was perfect because there was an overhang, it would rain, you're protected. Plus you had boxes and paper you could cover up with. It was fabulous. First year, I don't remember a lot of what happened. The second year, rocked my boat. There was this crazy girl. She was about maybe 17 or 18 years old. I saw her all the time. She had this brightly disheveled mop of red hair. She wore this really colorful dress that was three sizes too big, and she had this big old carpet bag, and she was completely, absolutely filthy, dirty. I mean, this woman, you should have seen her legs. She never had shoes on. I mean, she was the dirtiest thing in the world. Of course, I was a near second at that point because I'd been a year on the streets without the benefit of any other type of cleanliness. So I kept on watching her, and you know, she didn't seem to belong anywhere. The addicts didn't hang out with her. The alcoholics didn't hang out with her. She was definitely crazy, but no one hung out with her. And I started to feel for this girl. And I don't know why. She was like a fairy princess when I'd see her, you know, dancing around. She used to dance everywhere. Well, I was sitting on a street corner. I woke up on the street corner one day. And she was doing this thing where she'd press the button, and then she'd dance, and then she'd skip across the street, and she'd press the button, and she'd dance, and then she'd skip across the street, and she'd do it over and over again. And all day long, I would just sit there in my more than slightly inebriated state watching her until somebody gave me a bottle of booze or a donation. So one day, I don't know what happened, I was sitting there watching her and I got up and I walked up to the crosswalk and she came skipping across and she had this look of horror on her face. And I said, "What the heck are you doing?" And she backed up a little bit and she says, "You idiot, what do you think I'm doing? I'm trying to cross the stupid street." And I said, Oh gosh, I'm sorry I interrupted you. And I backed off and I said, "My name's Glenn." I went back to my street corner, but as I did, I heard this really calm, tiny little voice say, "Hi, my name's Birdie." And so some guy gave me a $16 donation and I knew a bottle of booze was in my future, so off I went to the liquor store. And I hung out with a bunch of other people, so I thought, I'm going to get a gallon of Gallo, and I'm going to get some Roll 'em Smokes. I'm going to share it with everybody. I'm going to be the hero for the day, right? So I grabbed the gallon of Gallo, but I look outside, and there she is standing there. She followed me to the liquor store, and she's just kind of peering into the liquor store looking pathetic. And at that point, when you're an alcoholic, you don't have a lot of feeling and emotion going on. Maybe it did when I was blacked out, but all of a sudden, I was flooded, maybe it's because I was partially sober, with this feeling and emotion that I hadn't felt in a long time. I put the Gallo back, grabbed the loaf of bread, can of beans, Roll 'em Smokes, three bottles of Ripple, and I walked out of the store with change. And I held up the bread, and I said, "Hey, Birdie, come on." And she just started going like this, you know, like that. I said, "You can come with me if you want. I got some food." So I went back to our little campsite. No one was there. I sat on a rock. Guess who showed up? So I said, "Come on over here." And I opened up the loaf of bread and I started eating it. And so she kind of slowly walked over and she slouched down in front of me. I handed her a loaf of bread, and the weird thing about it, which I never saw before, was she had the most beautiful blue eyes in the entire world, and she kept on looking at me, looking directly into my eyes as she was eating that bread. So I opened up a bottle of Ripple, and I gulped it down. Made me feel pretty good. I felt, well, I'm almost there. Well, almost. And I opened up the can of beans, and I started eating the can of beans, and I handed it to her, and she just kind of upended it in her mouth, you know, and got all over her face, and she wiped it all off, and she just sat there. And so I offered her some Ripple. She said no. And so I rolled a cigarette, and she shared my cigarette. When she was done, she jumped up, started to walk away, but then she stopped. She turned around. She came back, and she knelt down. She hugged me, and then she was gone. Squirrely shows up with a bottle of good whiskey. Woo! I was set for the night. That's the last thing I remember. The next morning, I wake up, and guess who's there? Everyone else is gone. She's sitting there. And I look at her, and I kind of stumble to my feet, and I said, come on, Birdie, we got to go find breakfast. So we rummaged through the garbage cans for the rest of the day, and that was it for 2 years. 2 years, that's what we did. We slept in the Goodwill donation box occasionally. We slept in the Emporium Capital's dumpster. We slept out in the open. But she was with me for 2 years, and she watched over me, and she took care of me. When I was blacked out, she was there. She was the last person I saw. She was the first person I saw when I awoke, those beautiful blue eyes. So we befriended this lady named Kathy. We used to call her Hallmark Kathy because she worked at Hallmark Cards, and she was a good Christian lady. So she would bring us a cup of coffee and a donut every morning, and I would just blather on about whatever. I didn't even know what I was saying. I mean, most of the time, I was like partially there. I mean, I didn't know what I was saying. So one day, she thought that I said I was suicidal. So she called the police. So the next morning, two policemen were there. They picked me up. As they're driving away, I saw Birdie, and I was trying to tell her I'll be back, but she just had this horrified look on her face. Took me to this facility. The good doctor, I like that doctor, decided, okay, I'm going to get this kid off alcohol. He said, we're not a treatment center for alcohol. I'm going to help you out. Sign yourself in. So I did. It was great. Shower, shave, clean clothes, a cot, 3 meals a day. It was perfect. It was like I was on vacation from the streets. Of course, I had the DTs, so I had to suffer for 3 days. And I was sick. I can't tell you, in pain. It was horrible, hallucinating. They kept me locked down for 2 days because I was so out of it. But when I finally came to and I was sober, it was like a whole new world. And so I signed myself out. Doctor released me, gave me $20, clean set of clothes, and I went to stay with my father for 2 weeks. Now, the whole thing is, after staying with my father, I began to wonder about Birdie. And I thought, where's she? I didn't see her on the streets, and I was looking for her. So I finally decided I got to go out and find her. So I went out. Nobody recognized me. I tracked down Squirrely, and I said, where's Birdie? And he's like, oh, man, didn't you know? And I said, no, what? A crazy bitch offed herself. And I said, what do you mean? He said, no, man, she was looking for you. She couldn't find you, man, so she just went crazy, started doing her crosswalk shit again. She offed herself, man. She OD'd. And I said, oh, man, don't be telling me that. He said, I got her bag. You want it? And I said, sure. So we went over. He dug her bag out, and I took her bag, and I went back to the crosswalk where he'd met. And all I could think about was, you know, if I had just thought of her, she thought about me for 2 years. Why didn't I think of her? Why didn't I go and try to find her? And I was stressing on that. And I thought, I don't want to live anymore. God, she was my best friend, my only friend, in a time when I needed somebody, and I didn't even think of her. I let her die. I let her die. I'm responsible for her death. And I'm building this all up in my head. And I just feel like going out and having a drink and blacking it all out. And then all of a sudden, I heard this sweet little voice say, Glenn, where the hell have you been? I've been looking all over the place for you. And I open my eyes and I see this lovely, beautiful young woman. And this is, I'm not an artist, but this is the best I could do. That's what I saw. That's what I saw, this beautiful woman, hair fixed, clean, wearing a blue toga. I thought she was an angel. And I got up, and I threw my arms around her, and I said, Birdie, I thought Squirrely said you were dead. And she says, oh, I overdosed, but I had to come back and get you, stupid. And I said, oh. And she said, come on, you're going with me. I said, where are we going? She said, we're going to the House of Refuge. I said, you mean those crazy people that wear the bathrobes and the togas? She said, that's what I'm wearing. We're going. And so I said, okay. So we walked over to the crosswalk, and I looked at her, and she looked at me, and we both started cracking up, and we just started dancing. And then we skipped across the street, and we're dancing on the other side, and we're both laughing like crazy, you know. And I said, Bertie, what are we doing? And she starts laughing, and she says, we're trying to cross the stupid street.